This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So there's a really interesting thought that came to my mind, and it is of course related to the current situation. But you know, we've been speaking about the importance of intentions with everything that we do. And the way that we refine our intentions is we connect them to specific sunan of the Prophet ﷺ, specific traditions of the Prophet ﷺ. And those traditions become most impactful when we can look at specific episodes of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. And of course, all of that is a manifestation of the Qur'an. And so we've talked about boycotts, we've talked about protests, we've talked about speaking out against evil. If you can't change something with your hand, man ra'a minkum munkar, the very famous hadith, whoever amongst you sees an evil, let them change it with their hand. If they can't do so, then let them change it with their tongue. And if they can't do so, then hate it in their heart. And that is the least of iman. We've talked about the importance of dua as the weapon of the believer, supplicating for our brothers and sisters. But there's something that a lot of us have been doing, and there's a very specific question that I wanted to ask about this deed. Is there any reward for refuting Israeli propaganda? Simple as that. Is there a reward? Is there actually a reward that can be sought? Is there anything specific from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ about refuting the propaganda of an oppressor? About refuting the propaganda of a liar? And there's this very specific hadith that I wanted to look at in regards to this. Why? Because obviously, you know, we live in a world of echo chambers and algorithms and social media companies that are fueled by all sorts of interests and money to make sure that true narratives don't get out. And if the true narrative wasn't important, then obviously there wouldn't be so much money that was out there to shut down what is the truth. And what we're seeing is this constant battle, this constant strife in the war of public narrative and public opinion between people like you and everyone that's got the power of a cell phone and the power of a laptop, that are showing things that legacy media intentionally does not want to be shown, and then the power of those social media platforms trying to shut those down without being too obvious. So, you know, you're doing with your cell phone something that's very interesting because this is unprecedented in history. Is there anything from our deen about the very particular act of that, of trying to shed light on the truth and trying to dispel the propaganda of an oppressor in the public space? And so I come back to this hadith that I'll reflect on a bit today because it has a very specific line here and then a very specific reward. And I actually gave a khutbah, subhanAllah, in November of 2021 called Do Not Aid the Oppressor about this very hadith, but I talked about one other line of this hadith. The hadith is the hadith from Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It's an authentic hadith. Ka'b ibn Ujra says that kunna tis'a, we were nine people with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day. Five of us were Arabs, four of us were non-Arabs. Now what's the significance of that line? The significance of that line is twofold. Number one, it indicates the universality of the message that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to share. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ is not going to share a message that is specific to Qaba'il al-Arab, to the tribes of the Arabs. That's number one. So it suggests the universality of the message. Number two, it suggests the timing within the seerah. When would the Prophet ﷺ have a broader audience? What do you think? When would the Prophet ﷺ have a broader audience? At what time period of the seerah? I know you all know, so it's okay. The Madani period, and particularly the last part of it, right? If he's speaking to five Arabs, four non-Arabs, that means that the religion has spread now. You have people that have now come and settled into Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ is towards the end of his own prophetic mission on this earth, and he's telling them about things that are to come. So Ka'b ibn Ujra says that the Prophet ﷺ said to us, nine of us, he said, اسمعوا هل سمعتم أنه ستكون بعدي أمراء مَنْ دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَصَدَّقَهُمْ بِكَذِبِهِمْ وَأَعَانَهُمْ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي وَلَسْتُ مِنْهُ وَلَيْسَ يَرِيدُ عَلَى الْحَوْضِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقْهُمْ بِكَذِبِهِمْ وَلَمْ يُعِنْهُمْ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ فَهُوَ مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُ وَسَيَرِدُ عَلَى الْحَوْلِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, listen to me and listen closely. Verily, after me, there will come leaders. And whoever enters upon these leaders, and this is a very important thing because it's mistranslated on many of the hadith websites. All right? If you read many of the hadith websites, it'll say, and believes their lies. But tasdiq, yusaddiquhum, means to affirm their lies. So whoever enters upon an oppressor, a leader, and then affirms their lies, not just believes their lies, affirms their lies, and aids them in their oppression, then they are not from me, and I am not from them, and they will have no place from drinking from the hold from the fountain of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Very specific. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever does not enter upon them and does not affirm their lies and does not aid them in their oppression, then that person is from me and I am from them, and they will drink from my hold on the Day of Judgment. They will drink from my fountain on the Day of Judgment. May Allah make us amongst those who drink from the hand of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an interesting hadith, and I want to break it down because there's obviously the line here that is very pertinent to the idea of dispelling propaganda as a specific deed here. Number one, the hadith gets complicated in regards to whether you're talking about a Muslim leader or an open enemy, right? An opposition. Someone who's Muslim or someone who's from the opposition, right? Because if it's a Muslim leader and it's within the ummah, if it's a khalifa or someone who has bay'ah, who has allegiance from the Muslims, then there are going to be some differences in the ahkam, in the rulings that the scholars of hadith will decipher here. So for one, obviously, of the three things the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whoever enters upon them, whoever affirms their lies, or whoever aids them in their oppression, the second two of those three are haram no matter what. The second two of those three are haram no matter what. Meaning what? And this is of course what we see that happens today. You have a Muslim leader who is obviously committing all sorts of atrocities, that is supporting an oppression, enabling oppression, and you have those that will unfortunately appear with them and actually repeat their propaganda, repeat their lies, and it comes with a very particular type of legitimacy when it has the cloak of a sheikh, the cloak of a alim, right, to affirm their lies, right? And by doing so, giving a religious authority, a religious veneer to the oppression that they are committing, all right? So this is not permissible regardless. However, is it permissible to enter upon a leader, to enter upon a person who's a khalifa or a ruler, to be in the presence? Absolutely, to be with them is not absolutely prohibited, especially if there is munasaha, if there's some sort of advising towards them or something of that sort. It's not prohibited in and of itself. The question becomes, how much of your behavior towards them is iqrar or inkar? Is insinuating support for what they're doing, or insinuating at least the distancing from their evil, even if it's by ishara, if it's by your deeds, your actions, right? So singing a nasheed to an oppressor is probably, not something that would fall into this, right? Or praising them while overlooking their deeds doesn't fall into this. But, you give a dua, or you're present in the same gathering, or there is something that takes place, you're in the same space and you're giving them advice, that's not enough to disqualify someone. And that's important in this day and age where it's very easy to just take a picture out of context and then completely delegitimize, a person who's the head of like a group of scholars in some Muslim country, and to say this person has no legitimacy anymore. That's not fair either, right? So there are extremes in this, and there's important nuance here that is to be derived when it comes to the first one. This obviously does not apply when you're talking about someone who's an open enemy to the Muslims. This is not talking about Benjamin Netanyahu or someone who shamelessly would take what they call faith-washing trip to Israel and pose with the president or pose with the prime minister and say, I was just building a relationship. I was giving Netanyahu nasiha. Netanyahu doesn't need your nasiha, trust me. Or I was giving him advice, talking about how we can build peace. Doesn't count, and that is absolutely disqualifying and disgraceful. But what about the second two things? أَعَانَهُمْ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ, to aid them in their oppression. So I'm going to leave the middle one for last because it's the one that's most pertinent to this discussion. أَعَانَهُمْ عَلَى ظُلْمِهِمْ goes back to the boycott discussion that we were having. And Imam al-Marwadi, rahimahullah, he says, when Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was in prison, the prison guard came to him. And he said, Ya Aba Abdullah, al-hadithu alladhi ruya fi al-zulm wa al-zulama wa a'wanihim. He said, the hadith that's narrated about al-zulama, about the oppressors, wa a'wanihim, those that support them. He says, is it sahih? Is it authentic? Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, said, yes. Imagine Imam Ahmad's in prison. The prison guard is asking him, is the hadith about those who aid the oppressor authentic or not? He said, yes. So the Sajjan, the prison guard, asked, فَأَنَا مِنْ أَعْوَانَ الظَّلَمَةِ, so am I from the people that aid the oppressor? So Imam Ahmad responded to him and he said, أَعْوَانُ الظَّلَمَةِ مَنْ يَأْخُذُ شَعْرَكَ وَيَغْسِلُ ثَوْبَكَ وَيُصْلِحُ طَعَامَكَ وَيَبِيعُ وَيَشْتَرِي مِنْكَ. He said, no, the aid of an oppressor, the one who aids an oppressor in your situation, is your barber, the one who makes your food, the one who buys and sells from you. He says, فَأَمَّا أَنْتْ فَأَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ. As for you, you're actually an oppressor. You're way worse in this hadith than you think. The one who actually deals with you and just supports you in your day-to-day is from أَعْوَانَ الظَّلَمَة that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about, from those who aid an oppressor. There's another famous story about Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, which is also narrated that the Khayyat, a tailor, came to him. And he mentioned that, you know, I tailor garments for the Sultan, who's clearly an oppressor. So do I count amongst the Zalama? Do I count amongst the oppressors? And he says, بَلْ أَنْتَ مِنَ الظَّلَمَ أَنْفُسِهِمْ, rather, you are one of the oppressors. And this shows you this idea, again, of not participating in any way. So it goes back to the discussion we were having about boycotts, about the religiosity of this affair, of not purchasing, of not partaking, when we can prevent ourselves from anything that could be used towards the oppression of our brothers and sisters, or strengthen the case or the position of those that oppress our brothers and sisters. Now, the middle one is the interesting one, which is to affirm their lies or to deny their lies in public. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned to us the virtue of kalimatu haqq inda sultan al-ja'r, to speak a word of truth in the face of an oppressor. The connection between speaking a word of truth in the face of the oppressor and this is that here you are not talking to the oppressor directly, you're talking outside of the oppressor, you're facing outward, and you are dispelling their lies. So speaking a truth to their face or dispelling a falsehood to their audience, to those that are on the other side. This is a powerful connection to what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is predicting about the times that come, because we know that as time goes on, the standards of truth and the standards of truth bearers both go down. SubhanAllah, as the ulama mentioned, إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Both the level of fusuq, you know, Allah says in the Qur'an, if a wicked person comes to you with news, then verify it. Both the wickedness, the standard of wickedness, and the standard of verification wither away over time. Right? So what would have made you a fasiq back then, who's not trustworthy, right? You'd be considered one of the awliya today, one of the greatest friends of Allah today. And the levels of verification have also gone down. So it takes one person. How many times, by the way, and I'm just being real here because I see it in our community too. Sheikh, did you hear what happened? What happened? And then like some ridiculous outlandish news. I'm not going to say I heard it tonight before Isha, but you get the point. All right? Not tonight before Isha, by the way, just so no one feels targeted here, right? Where'd you hear from? I saw it on WhatsApp. Someone passed it on. And why do you think it's real? Well, because the person that forwarded it, right, is a good Muslim, is someone who seems to be trustworthy. And that person, of course, forwarded it from someone else, who forwarded it from someone else, and then forwarded it from someone else. And the next thing you know, you had, you know, like someone speaking Arabi on American Idol, you know, saying free Palestine and just all sorts of things. It's like, where did this even come from? But the standards of both the truth bearer as well as what we consider to be verified and true have gone down so much. So it takes one person to say something for a lie to spread, especially if you're considered somewhat reliable in your community. Now, to dispel propaganda, to actually do the opposite of what the Prophet ﷺ is saying here, that I will not affirm the lie of an oppressor, I will not affirm the lie of a propagandist, even if that means I'm going to speak to my 10, 15, 50, 500 people. But when the oppressor lies, I will be there to dispel that lie. And subhanAllah, what you have happening right now in the world is a chorus of that. You have a bunch of people that don't have the power of the machine, but have the power of their numbers, that immediately point out the ridiculousness of the propaganda that's coming out of Israel. Let's talk about how silly and ridiculous their propaganda is, right? They have lied so many times at this point, but I want you to imagine a world where social media didn't exist, right? The lies would have been run with and there would have been no counter voice, no counterbalance. But here, subhanAllah, we have a connection to this very particular line, to not affirm a liar, either actively or passively, and to instead say that this is kadhib, this is a lie, and to respond with the truth. Now here's the interesting thing about this hadith and how it all comes together at the end. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I am from that person and they are from me, and that is a person that will drink from my hand at the hell, at the fountain. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those people who drink from the hell of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? What's the connection here? There are a few things that the scholars mention. Number one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ibghuni fil du'afa, find me amongst the weak. And of the downtrodden, the lowest category, or rather the highest category, right, of the du'afa, of the weak ones and the downtrodden ones, are al-madhlumin. There are al-masakeen, there are fuqara, there are people that are poor, there are people that are destitute, there are people that are orphans. The lowest in terms of class, the highest in terms of rank, would be al-madhlumin, would be those who are oppressed. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was alive, is saying to the Sahaba, find me amongst the downtrodden. Ibghuni fi du'afa. You're going to look for me, you will find me amongst them. هَلْ تُرْزَقُونَ وَتُنْصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ. Are you supported or given victory except by the way that you treat your downtrodden ones, except by the way that you treat especially your oppressed ones? Are you going to be given victory and help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through that measure? And so one of the connections that the scholars mention is that those who would have found themselves in closest proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive will find themselves in closest proximity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. And that's a powerful connection. So when he mentions sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the closest people to him are the people of the best akhlaq, the best character. Wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the best character. So if you wanted to be with him, then you wanted to emulate his character as much as possible, so you would naturally be in close proximity to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this life and therefore in the hereafter as well. So that's one of the connections that the ulama mention here, is that the Prophet ﷺ himself would have been amongst the oppressed. The second one is that those who were in proximity to the Prophet ﷺ in this life will be closest to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the next life. And the third one is in regards to the difficulty, ashidda, the severity of taking this type of a stance. Now here's where I really want us to take a moment, inshallah ta'ala, and relate the moment that we're in right now. Everything that's going to come our way as a community, here in the United States especially, look, they just passed a resolution in Congress today that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So congratulations, I assume all of you are now anti-Semitic. All right, because I assume everyone in here is anti-Zionist, and if you're not, then ma'a salama, please go to another masjid. All right? Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. What's next? Losing your job, you're an anti-Semite. Your organizations, your institutions. There's a risk here. And we can't be silly and think that this isn't moving in a certain direction. Where we have to have hikmah, we have to be wise. We also have to be steadfast. Right? We have to be wise, but we have to be steadfast. And I want you to think in the mind of a young companion who hears from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the way that you act in regards to the suppressor is going to determine your being from me or my being from you and your proximity to me at the hawd, at the fountain of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the way that you act when you see an oppressor who by necessity, according to this hadith, is someone who's trying to get people to affirm their lies and is trying to get people to aid them in their oppression. Oppressors rarely act, if ever, act alone, right? So they're naturally looking for people to affirm their lies, their media, and they're looking for people to support them in insidious ways. If you're a sahabi of the Prophet ﷺ and you hear, by the way, do you want to be at my hawd? You want to be at my fountain on the Day of Judgment? You want to be drinking from my hand? This is what you do. Or you want to not be near me on the Day of Judgment? This is how you act? Then your ears are perking and your heart is fully inclined to everything the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is about to say. You understand the severity of it when the Prophet ﷺ says that? So clearly, the greatness of the reward is in accordance with the severity of the trial. And yes, subhanAllah, you know, the most difficult ghurba that the Muslims ever faced. I want you to think about this. The most difficult ghurba, the most difficult estrangement and disillusionment the Muslims ever faced. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّي اللَّهِ. That you would kill a man just because he says, my Lord is Allah, and because he refuses to affirm the greatest kadhib, the greatest lie, which is that the Prophet ﷺ is not a messenger of Allah, that he is all of the names that they were calling him. That was the hardest time, right? Where affirming a lie meant literally saying things about the Prophet ﷺ or saying things about Allah and speaking the most simple truth of La ilaha illallah was enough to earn you persecution. And as we go to times of estrangement, subhanAllah, you're living in a time where speaking the most basic truths about fitrah, about what people know, about the humanity of children, women, innocent civilians, where you know the eyes are very clear as to what they're seeing, could put you at risk with your job, could put our Islamic organizations at risk as the laws become more draconian and more McCarthyist. And it's going to take us to have a certain type of attitude as a community. So what I'm saying is, be wise, but read yourself into the hadith that alhamdulillah, you have the ability to call out the lies when you see them in whatever capacity. And I know we're already seeing the fatigue, subhanAllah, in regards to this. 2 months and we're already getting tired. Renew it by reading these ahadith sometimes and saying to yourself, I want to be that person who does not affirm the lies that are coming out from this propaganda machine, and I will speak these truths, and I will seek, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with that, Allah Azza wa Jalla's pleasure. I will seek that position with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amongst us, in his physical proximity in this dunya, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be with our brothers and sisters who are being oppressed right now. You know, there are very few things, subhanAllah, and I'll end with this, very few things that you can say, if the Prophet ﷺ was here, then I know he would be here, right? And it's honestly not something that's praiseworthy, and it's something that should usually be avoided. Like, if he was here, he would certainly be doing this. That's a very dangerous line to say. But I don't think there's any doubt in our minds where the Prophet ﷺ would be in regards to the people of Gaza right now, right? And so our hearts, our tongues, our efforts continue in that direction, even if it is refusing to affirm the lies of this machine. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us with our brothers and sisters around our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his hawd on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for the oppressed wherever they are. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them and us strength to continue in ways that are pleasing to him and to overcome those who oppress them. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.